right. Hey, good evening, everyone. Can you hear me? All right. Let's act like it's my first time with a mic in my hand. I can't figure out how to use it. Hey, we are really excited this evening. We have the Crossman family in, and we're going to have them up here, and we're gonna spend a little time talking and learning about their ministry. And it has been excellent having our missions partners in with us on Wednesday nights, because I think it's a great opportunity for the church to connect with them and then for them to connect with the church. And as always, it doesn't have to go through us. So if you hear something this evening, we'll get you in touch with the Crossmans. If God is moving, and step into that, listen to that calling. So without further ado, we'll have the Crossman family up with us. I won't bite. I might bite. I don't know. It's a lot of people on a small table, but we're going to make it work. So
that's the Moldova way.
There you have it.
A lot of people in a small table.
Well, so we're halfway there at this point then.
We are.
Oh, excellent.
If this were Moldova, what, we'd get at least eight?
Yeah.
This table, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's just, I know some of these folks have met you all before and have had an opportunity, but just take a second to introduce yourselves, if you would, please.
I am Barbara Crossman, and I'm looking forward to meeting Dallas's parents, if they're here. I grew up in Lake Worth, Florida. Yes, and somebody is a Palm Beach Atlantic graduate. I don't know if they're here. I came to the Lord. When I came to Jesus, I was 14 years old at Palm Beach Baptist Church, West Palm Beach Baptist Church, and was involved with the youth ministry there. And that they just part of my life, and it'll be the next generation in just a second.
Go ahead, Val.
Hi, I'm Valerie Valerie Sherbert, and I just came back from a mission trip with them. I lived with them for 10 months in Moldova. And
she's our granddaughter.
Yes, I'm their granddaughter. And I'm going to Palm Beach Atlantic this fall to be an art teacher. So
yeah, awesome.
And I'm David Crossman, and there are no alumni from my school here. I grew up on an island off the coast of Maine, and I think there's probably nobody. It's called Vinyl Haven Island. It's north, if you know Booth Bay, it's out east of Booth Bay. You stand on the coast in Maine, look east toward England, and it's out there somewhere.
Awesome. Well, we're so thankful you all are here. Thanks for, you know, spending your time with us this evening and sharing some about your ministry. So I would love to jump in. So. And I don't care who answers the question or if all of you answer the question.
She's the question answer.
But do you care to share a little about your ministry? And I realize that each of you have a little different piece or a little different story to share. So please.
Well, I'll start with mine. First of all, to know Moldova is a little tiny country wedged between Ukraine and Romania. Right next to Ukraine, we're about 60 miles from the Ukrainian border. And David and I have been there. We came to Moldova for just a short-term mission trip 9 years ago in September.
We had a two-week visit. And after that visit, I said, somebody there actually said, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And I said, what, that I'm leaving Moldova? And he said, no, he wants you to come and live here. And I did not feel at the time that he was listening to the right God. and that was 9 years ago.
Yeah, and what was so funny is inside I was just going, yeah. So I thought, okay, God, if this is your will, you'll change his mind. And like 4 months later, we were getting ready to pack up and move, so... It was. The really neat thing, obviously, we are not young. And the wonderful thing is that God has just opened up this opportunity to mentor and pour into the lives of the next generation. I have a background in teaching. I was teaching business at the Christian University there. I have a women's Bible study that I love. We're involved with the church. Many areas. So I love the word, it's not my own, but we have an opportunity to be intentionally available. And when God just raises up an opportunity, we're there, we're listening, and we're ready to walk into it. So I'm very involved with women right now, and I love it, most Moldovan women.
I think the most dangerous thing in our experience is going into missions with a plan. Because God has very little consideration of our plans. We've repeatedly corrected him. And he just doesn't seem to care. So you learn to follow God rather than try to get on the other side of him so he's following you, you know? Because you just can't get around that guy.
And what are you involved in?
I'm involved in this year, my main, since Valerie was with us, was taking care of her, and then taking care of Barbara, and taking care of our upstairs neighbors, who are those three over there. Who are also missionaries, and they have roots in this area. Mm-hmm. They're also missionaries in Moldova and happen to be our upstairs neighbors. So
it's
I had to take care
awesome.
Of them. It was a lot of work. No, I have sort of assignments. I co-lead the men's Bible study in the mornings on Tuesday morning at a local coffee shop. We have collectively Tuesday nights our open dinners, fellowship dinners that we have for anybody who drops in, and the Holy Spirit always drops in. It's just amazing. Week after week, never the same, seldom the same cast of characters, but that one character is always there, the Holy Spirit. And every time after it's over, Barb and I look at each other and just say, you know, we didn't do anything. We opened the doors and provided food and said, come in. And that was it. And we've had so many people there. A lot of seekers. We've had Hindus there. We've had Muslims there. We've had a lot of people who just are unaffiliated with anything and don't have real faith. And then we have a core of consistent believers who just let the Spirit command. And it's just wonderful. And then Fridays, Barbara has Bible study for the ladies, and I am sort of the spiritual mentor for the worship team at our ICF, which is the International Christian Fellowship English Language Church, of whom Jeff is one of the elders. He's been there since shortly before it was founded. He was just waiting for a church to grow up around him. And
that's awesome.
I had just finished high school, or, you know, I was in my senior year, and I was planning on going to Word of Life Bible Institute in Florida when Mimi and Papa just came up to me and said, hey, do you want to come to Moldova with us for a year? And that's essentially, I said yes. So I've been, or over the last year, I worked with kids at a organization called La Via, and it's where it's an after-school program where they take in kids from hurting families and just show them the broken mics, show them the love of Jesus and that they are worthy of love, and just teach them how to take care of the world and the people around them. And yeah, and I did most of the art stuff there. I was decorating, teaching art classes every Friday, and just experiencing what it was like to take care of kids who cannot speak the same language as me.
That's awesome, and I can't wait to jump into some of that. And we actually have some pictures from some of your time there. And there you go. So anybody, this family's sitting right here, which is really cool. And then I think there's one more. There you go. So is that are you teaching art in that instance?
Yes, I'm the one in the turquoise jacket.
That's awesome. Well, I can't wait to dive into more of that because I want to hear more of your story and kind of how this fits in to what God's doing in your life and through this ministry for certain. So what do you think are some of like your greatest needs or the ways you've seen God move in your community, in your ministry in Moldova?
Well, that's really two questions. What are the greatest needs and how have we seen God move? We're talking about that on the way up here. And, you know, how have we seen God move? And we have seen God move in so many ways. One of the most personal, deeply personal times is those Tuesday night fellowships. We just see, we just have to get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit's going to do. And he's always faithful. And the things he does are far beyond our capacity. We can't sit back and say, well, didn't we do a good job tonight? We can't. We can't do it. The best we can say is, hey, did well with the beans tonight. You know, that's about it. So go ahead.
Yeah, we might have a vague plan for what we do on Tuesday nights. But most times, like, it's either we end up just talking about good things that are happening and we pray about that, or we all just end up giving our prayer requests, or we end up laughing the whole time.
it's a great time because the main thing about that, the Tuesday night, is that, I mean, the Holy Spirit is there and you can feel it when you want. It's in our apartment. And I must say the Holy Spirit has just rested on that place. And to see, well, the main thing is that people feel completely peaceful. They feel confident. They can share their innermost struggles, their temptations. They can share themselves, and they know that they can do so in complete confidence. And nobody's going to say anything outside that room. And we're just going to let the Holy Spirit minister to whatever that need is. But it's amazing how important it is that people know that they can say whatever is on their heart. They can be completely transparent. And how many people can you feel that confident in their presence to know that they are free to be exactly who they are and to meet the Spirit where they are? And it's supernatural. It really is.
Another really neat thing, and these are just ideas for what we'll be talking about later. I know Jeff and Robin have a great ministry every week to the college students, Central Asian college students that are in Moldova at the Christian University. And they have those students coming over and feeding them dinner, and then they have Bible study with
every
those kids.
Saturday. It's a racket. I mean,
they're playing games upstairs. But
I know they're all upstairs just going like this.
But so that's an area. There are a number of people. There are a lot of Central Asian students in Moldova, and a number of people have ministry to these students to help them grow up. We have more than half, I bet, of our International Christian Fellowship Church now is full of Indian medical students. And they're there to go to medical school in Moldova. And so there's a huge outreach with them. They're awesome. But training, mentoring, being family to them. So these are just some great ways. And God just keeps moving and weaving and teaching. And it's awesome.
That's one of those instances also where we went on the mission field, and then the mission field came to us because we have all of these students. The majority of them are Indian, but they're from all over the place. They're from the stands. They're from Peru. They're from South America. We've met people from all over the world, and they all come there. And because of the medical university and the dental university, they're going to be there for 4 to 7 years. And we get to just pour into them for that time. and really ground them in Scripture and in their faith. And then they go back to their countries and do whatever the Lord calls them to do there. It's an amazing thing because we hardly have to leave the couch.
What I mean, that's a huge opportunity because I think you're getting an opportunity to basically create almost that discipleship model that we are hoping to replicate here. Yeah. And you guys are getting to, like, engage and live that out and send it back out. So how cool. Because those are also kids coming from countries that it's sometimes hard to get the gospel to.
Oh, absolutely.
So what do you think maybe some of the needs? And I kind of hit into that earlier with the question, and it was a two-part question, and I appreciate that. But, like, what are some of the needs? What are some of the things that you see as, like, challenges or things like that?
Well, as far as needs, after COVID and then particularly after the war started in Ukraine, a lot of people left, a lot of missionaries left, a lot of families left. And so it's left a hole that I know that we were talking, and we, the church, ICF, we used to have the most amazing couple that led the children's ministry. They moved on. There's never been anyone that has really just taken that on. We have Robin's work there, Paulina's work there, but they're doing that along with all the other things that they do. So children's ministry, if somebody is a businessman or woman, and to be able to come and teach a seminar at the local Christian university about how to walk in integrity as a businessman or woman. I would love social workers to come because we have a great way of reaching out to the social workers and teachers in the area and just come and do seminars. There, any walk that you are in that God is using you, you have skills that you can pass on and show people in Moldova how you can be a Christian, a follower of Jesus, and excel in these different areas of your life. And as we've mentioned, every year we're still praying for an occupational therapist to come, like 1 week, to come and train physical therapists. Two is great, but I'm saying 1 week.
A month would be really good.
You know, we haven't gotten the month. No one's responded to the 2 weeks. I'm desperately saying 1 week. Will you come for 1 week? Because we would set up a training for physical therapists and people who work with special needs children across Moldova.
So I feel like I just want to make sure what I hear you saying is it doesn't matter what skill or trade or education background you are, you'll put them to work?
That's
is that right?
That's okay. One of the things that the Lord has uniquely positioned us to. We mentioned earlier that the name of our ministry is called the Minjin Project. And the Minjin Project is ours. We have our own 501c3, and that's the name of it, the Minjin Project. Minjin is a character that I developed for my children when they were little. It's a storybook character. And when we were looking for a name for our ministry, Minjin came up because Minjin was an adventurous little creature, always trying to see what's beyond the next hill. So we are positioned, our sort of tagline or theme line is connecting the dots. And the Lord has really positioned us uniquely to be sort of at the nexus of where a lot of other ministries can meet. We know a lot of people in a lot of different fields, from government to other ministries to NGOs, throughout the country. And as was evident during the invasion, the first part of the invasion, we also had connections in Romania and in Poland and in Ukraine itself. And we were able to do that, connect the dots. We find out what the need, then we connect that with the resources, then we connect that with the people. And so it hasn't been so much, you know, we're not doing these great things, but we have been positioned so that we can facilitate the work and the resources and the people and bring them together so they can accomplish what the Lord has called them to do.
And another big request we're looking for, particularly men who have a desire to teach the word and mentor, to come to Ukraine. And it can be for a week, 2 weeks. There are so many people coming to the Lord in Ukraine. in the Odessa area, the American missionary in Odessa, they are responsible to about 40 villages where there are small church plants because of the gospel going out. And they're looking for people who would say, I will come once a year, I will come twice a year, and plug you into a time slot to mentor and teach the word, and quite frankly, to give the Ukrainian pastors that are on the ground a break, because they're really
tired. These guys, you wouldn't believe what they do. I mean, not only do they shepherd their congregations and plant churches and do their best to mentor, at the same time being fathers and husbands, they also often frequently go to the front lines and put themselves in grave danger in order to bring the gospel to the front lines and to bring much-needed supplies to the front lines. I mean, these guys are, in my eyes, heroes of the faith, because they do what needs to be done. They trust the outcome to the Lord.
That's amazing. Well, Val, I want to get you in on this. Okay, so you're just coming out of high school.
Yes.
They call and say, hey, why don't you come over here? So tell me about your headspace. Tell me you're going in. You've never been there before, yes? Okay, so you're going in, you obviously probably had some expectation of what you thought you might want to do, and then can you kind of elaborate on, like, what did God use you to do while you were there?
Yeah, well, the first question I asked was to my mom, should I go? And she looked at me and she said, absolutely, I would have gone, go. And so my thoughts going in, I honestly had no idea. I was planning on going to Word of Life, getting all of my Bible stuff, so I'm like, have a strong faith, because I was wanting to go into the movie making industry as an animator. And so, you know, that was my plan, but I was kind of teetering, so I had no idea what I was going to do after. And he was like, yeah, you might work with some kids, you can teach them every once in a while. I was like, cool. So I really just went in blind and ended up making some of the best of friends and experiencing things that barely anybody gets to experience. We traveled so much at certain points in the year. And
I must say, the first week we were there, the very first week, I think it was before we went to Moldova, we went to Ukraine. It's like I said, we went to Moldova first.
See, it works over there, too. And about 10 days later,
we took her to Ukraine. So that was
a lot.
It was a lot.
The
yeah.
culture shock was, it shook me a lot. Because
when you hear your first air raid siren, you know.
Thankfully, we didn't hear any. Yeah. I haven't heard any in my entire year.
Yay.
Thank the Lord. But no, we had gone to a conference in Poland about the war, and I saw a lot of things that was going on, and it was absolute nightmare. But then when we were entering into Ukraine, after I saw all of what was going on, I was terrified. But we stayed in Uzhgorod and met with a few other missionaries and an organization who was there.
It's called Hope International.
Yeah.
Great organization, and we do a lot of work with Hope Ukraine.
Yeah, so we went there, and I was just kind of along for the ride for that whole first part until I really started getting into what I did for the rest of the year in Moldova, which was, again, it was with La Via. At first, I worked a month with another organization called Metanoia, and I felt that I wasn't doing much there, so I moved to La Via, and I realized that they didn't have much of an art program or anything like that, and the thing that I noticed with kids in Moldova, which is a post-Soviet country, is that their creativity has been completely stomped on. And they, in their schools, every little line has to be perfect or it's wrong, or the teacher will fix it.
it's just that mindset of have to have it exactly as the teacher does.
Yeah.
And so I didn't see it as much with the younger kids, but with a lot of the older kids, they'd get so frustrated when I was trying to teach them, and it broke my heart. So I was just mainly just trying to show them that creativity comes from you and not from somebody else.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was really nice to see, but again, I couldn't speak the language. I was taking lessons, trying to learn it, so I'd always have a translator, but they were always following me around. Vol, can you do this? Can you draw this for me? At one point, I had set up this one art lesson where they would have to pick an object that I had set out on a shelf. I had picked out tons of random things. I said, okay, grab one and draw it.
Yeah.
Any way you want, just try. And I had done an example on the whiteboard, and at least half of them drew what was on the whiteboard.
That was an example.
So I erased it, and I made them get objects for themselves.
Yeah.
But some of them just completely displayed creativity, but I just want to show the world and show kids especially that it's how God created us. He's full of creativity, and we're to suppress that is really sad because it's what God does. So it's how we can reflect him too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Other things.
No, so you had a plan, right? You're going to university. You had your plan, and then you end up overseas, open-handed, if I understand correctly, kind of open-handed. God gives you this moment where you can go in and share your passion that he gave you, your gift of art, with these kids, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get to see transformation happen. You get to identify something in them and then spur that on. But how did you do that not knowing the language? Like, how did you figure that out? You're you know, first time, right?
Well, so, thank you.
We want to hear what you have to say. Let's go.
How I showed them without being able to speak the language. Well, the lessons definitely helped, and I could speak certain words. It was mostly through crazed actions of attempting to show them what to do and amazing translators from the ladies that I worked
with. Sure.
But no, it was mostly them learning by example and me just, like I said, physically showing them what to do and how to do it. And they understand head shakes and head nods. But, oh goodness.
Tell about your experiences on the bus, how
Thank
you,
you
ended up.
Okay. Because I lost my train of thought.
The trolley system in Chisinau is the capital of Moldova. Chisinau has about 750,000 people. The whole country only has about 2.6 million. So in Chisinau, there's a very good, very effective trolley system. And when Barbara and I first got there, it was a rather antiquated system. Now it's been updated. It's very nice. But there are certain rituals and traditions that take hold on trolleys in Chisinau.
You can't have two windows open across from each other.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, they don't like to have windows open because there's the concept traditionally throughout, and this is true throughout.
Superstition.
Throughout the Soviet countries, I find that they feel that a breeze blowing on you brings disease. So you can be sitting on a trolley, 95 degree heat, which I was one time early on. I was in a trolley, packed. I mean, it was packed like this with people.
Sardines.
My arms were up on the rails because I'm trying to just find a space to hold on so I don't fall over. And there are these two ladies who are in my armpits, one on either side.
Feel terrible for them.
Oh, you feel terrible.
Yeah.
Because you say, don't sweat. Don't sweat. You know, but and the smell was what you might expect. So anyway, we threw Val onto one of these. We took her, either Barbara or I took her to La Via once or twice on the trolley so she could figure out exactly how to go. So Val learned how to share the gospel on the trolleys.
Yes, I always carry my art journal with me everywhere I go, even in high school. All my teachers knew me. They're like, oh, I think that's Val's art journal. But after an encounter with
a Muslim man who I had asked to pray for in Greece without knowing that he was
That's
Muslim.
Awesome.
I realized, I was like, yeah, I love doing that, but it's terrifying. So what I had started doing on the trolley bus, which started with a little girl who was, I was just sitting there drawing, and she was sitting across from me. It started when she just started watching me, and I kind of looked up, and I wrote, Jesus loves you, tore out the picture, and handed it to her. And that's when I realized, oh, I can do something with this. And not 3 minutes later, a very drunk man came and sat down right next to me. And I was already shaking from giving the little girl the picture. Now this, I could, thankfully, other people in the trolley bus, after he had sat down next to me, very loud, they were watching to make sure I was okay, because sure. I was pressed against the glass. And he was sitting right here, and there's two other seats in front of me that's facing. Everybody else left, because he showed up. And so I just turned the page. I was like, okay, flowers. Let me draw a tree. So I just started drawing random things, and he quieted down and started watching me. And so I just kept on going, trying to keep my hand straight. For one, because I was scared, and for two, because, of course, it's a trolley bus. So eventually I wrote, look around and see the beauty that God has created, or something along those lines. I signed it. I tore it out, and right before I was about to get off the trolley bus, I stood up and handed it to him. And he kind of took it, stared, nodded, and politely moved his legs so that I could get out. Didn't say another word, and as I was getting off, I made sure he wasn't following me. But all I saw was him just staring at it.
Yeah.
And I just left. And I realized that a lot of the people who lived there, especially the older generation, they were affected by the Soviet Union. And just so many people have really tough lives there. And so after that, I would just start looking around for people who looked like they could use a smile or a kind word or just a gift from a stranger.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to pay for this.
Right.
And so I would just draw things, write something, and once I started learning Romanian better, I started writing it in Romanian, and I would hand it to people. Just, like, randomly. It wasn't a set schedule of, okay, I need to do two on today. But that's how I shared the gospel with others. If they want to read it, they can. If they want to translate it,
yeah,
they can go ahead and do that, but at least they know that they're loved by somebody.
That's awesome.
Oh, you can be sure that they wanted to know what that said. So, so they're going to find somebody who reads English and say, what does this say? What did this girl tell me?
I think that speaks to, like, love being in action. Like, Jesus calls us into loving, to sharing, right? And I think stepping into that, even not knowing the language, even not knowing the communication style, and then seeing in real time how the gospel is working, is living out, right? Mm-hmm. So I've asked questions from you, and I've asked questions from you, but I guess let's get to where we're going here. And that is, we're asking these questions this evening because our hope is in the spring to have a group that goes to you.
To Moldova, absolutely. Yeah.
So, and that is, I think, really, really exciting because we would love to come over, see your ministry, support your ministry, and then learn what you're doing. But I think, Val, in what you shared, it gives us, like, a little bit of hope and security to know, like, we can go over young, empty-handed, open-handed, and say, like, God, how can you use me? And then for those of us who are in our professional stages of life, like, you have something. You have something. And so I think that's just a great opportunity to look forward to. So how can we get connected with you guys? Like, how can we start to have this ongoing conversation, things like that?
I think the main thing is if you want to get connected and have a place to stay while you're there, we'll give you Robin and Jeff's number. And
Paulina has a room. She can move out
She'll
for
share.
A while.
Thank you, guys. That is so kind. So kind.
I have some business cards that has my, you know, Signal, Telegram, WhatsApp, all of those ways of connecting with me. I'm so excited that looking to have a group come. That is awesome. But I also want to say that if some of you are really prompted by the Holy Spirit, you don't have to wait. You can just come and,
well,
you know,
means
connect.
If you're prompted
with,
by the Holy Spirit, don't wait.
You know, connect with us, and we can work about schedules, where you feel like, what skill set you have that you could be a part of that, and we'll just weave things together.
God prompts anybody in many, many, many different ways. Sometimes he can speak directly to you. Sometimes he can show you another person who comes up and asks you. Or sometimes you just get this deep-rooted feeling that you need to do something, and that's what I would normally follow, is that deep-rooted feeling. And when I first got there, I had no idea what I was going to do when I left, and it was terrifying me for the first, like, month. And I remember one day, and I had always said no to being an art teacher. People would ask me, I'm like, no, I don't really feel like it. I don't want to. After about a month, I was standing in my room, and all of a sudden, this voice, clear as day, came into my head and said, you're going to be a high school art teacher. And that was the first time I felt the need to do that and felt the want to do that. And everything since has worked out perfectly to lead me to that point. So, prompting, and then once you're on God's path, he'll clear the way. There's nothing that can stop it.
That's good words.
Over the course of the years that we've been there, a lot of people have come to Moldova, and we have been able to plug their talents in. We've used plumbers and carpenters and builders and stonemasons and physical therapists and doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs and everybody who's been able to come. We have never had somebody show up and say, I don't know what to do with this person. I just don't have a clue. Because God has something in mind. If he calls you, he doesn't call you to go and. It's like Abram. He didn't say, Abram, I want you to go and. He said, go. And it's when you step out in obedience, then he'll show you what he wants you to do and where he wants you to go. So if he's laying it on your heart to go to Moldova or to go somewhere else to respond to the mission message, to respond to the Great Commission, it doesn't matter where it is. If it's here, if it's in Bolivia or if it's in Moldova, it doesn't matter.
Go.
Don't go with a plan. Just go in obedience, and God will reveal the plan.
I think Val summed it, right? She said, I didn't know, but I knew in serving others, then I figured it out. And so Dallas and I were having this conversation earlier. We were talking about this idea that, like, we think we got to get it right before we go serve.
Yeah.
And
well,
sometimes it's just go serve, and then God makes everything else so much clearer. So
numerous times I have seen people come, missionaries come to Moldova with the best of intentions. And they get there, and they attempt to implement their plans. And then God doesn't match their preconceptions, so they think they've failed. Well, no, they didn't fail. Their preconceptions failed. But they responded to the go part. All they need to do is modify their preconceptions and get rid of them and let God use them. And God will use and can use anybody.
I mean, he is God.
He is God, after all.
And just a really quick plug on Moldova. It's a wonderful country. It has beautiful restaurants, beautiful streets in Chisinau.
A lot of coffee shops.
I'm sold. Yeah.
We have very deep, rich community life together, which is just wonderful. And It's safe. I've never not felt safe in Moldova. I can, so it's a wonderful place to go, and
still pretty cool because when you're out in the country, you'll still see horse-driven carriages of taking people to work and around the countryside. Mm-hmm. So that's, it's an agricultural country.
Once you leave Chisinau and there are a couple of other major cities, once you leave those cities, you're transported back into the late 19th century in many instances, really, in the smaller villages. They still don't have indoor plumbing. And, wow. You know, so I remember the first time I was there, we were driving down a road, and I saw this wagon being pulled by this one overworked donkey, and it was overladen with hay, and he was going up the hill. And in my rearview mirror as we passed, I saw this kid laying back there in the hay on his iPhone. That's a juxtaposition of images, you know.
That's fairly accurate for today's world. So we're going to get ready and wrap up. But I understand you do a little bit of musical ministry. So we have a video of one of your ministry projects I would love to show, or Odessa, whichever you prefer, as we kind of transition. And then I hear you're going to close out service for us with a little of your music ministry. Is that correct? Is that we're going with neonatal? Yeah. So can you throw up the hospital one? And then kind of as we're transitioning, we'll have that playing. And then I'll leave you two to speak on it.
Yeah. And just it's a real quick introduction is that this, what you're seeing is a video about the only neonatal hospital in Moldova. And our friend who's part of the Phoenix Center, you know, and she's Moldovan, she realized what terrible condition this was in, decided something needed to be done. And this church right here was a huge part of helping to fund bringing the neonatal unit in Moldova up to EU standards. So when you see this story, you are part of this story. And the giving that you give to your church is part of this story. So we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts and all of those that are already being blessed because of that gift.
And your name is on the wall at that hospital, as
it
a
is.
Matter of fact.
If you go it there, is. Which is a Grace testimony. Meadows. It's a testimony because people wonder why American churches are wanting to help Moldovans, and it helps us tell the story of Jesus.
Curiosity sparks.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, we're going to play that video, and then Dave's going to close us out.
Okay. Yeah, we'll just let Popsa stay. That yours?
I just wanted to give an update to those of you who have donated so generously to this project, the neonatal wing at the Women and Children's Hospital in Chisinau. As you can see, work is underway now. Beds are being brought into the rooms, and pretty soon the mattresses will be as well. And within 2 weeks, it'll be ready for occupancy. And we're very, very excited. We're very grateful for your contributions, your generosity that made this possible. And I know that generations of newborns to come will be most grateful for your generosity and will benefit from it. I'm going to show you some of the original footage of what this looked like.
Thank you. Where there were 8 women to a room, now there are 4, or even 2, depending on the size of the room. There are new bathrooms, new showers, new kitchen facilities, and even new accommodation for the nurses and the staff. And best of all, there's a whole new attitude throughout the building. As you can see, we're so close to the end and to finally opening these rooms to the mothers and children who need them. However, in any project of this size, it's always the little things that have been put off till the end that require the greatest attention to detail. You have been great this far, and we cannot express our thanks deeply enough. But we ask one more time for your help in crossing the finish line. To make this new facility fully functional, the staff needs everything from blankets and pillows to diapers and drapes and paper products, pots, pans, you name it, all of these little things that will go a long way toward making this facility home from home for those in stressful times. Once again, we thank you for your past faithfulness, and we don't need much, but just enough so that Victoria can put a bright, shiny bow on this project and call it done.
Thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. I'll be back in a couple of weeks after the children have moved in, and I'll be able to show you some pictures of what happened as a result of your generosity, and I thank you very much. We all thank you. God bless.
So anyway, I'm pleased to report, I'm not sure what happened with the sound on that, but I'm pleased to report that the project is complete and that the rooms are full of mothers and children, and that really that wing of that hospital has, well, now all the other wings of the hospital want to be improved as well. So, but that's all right for those children and those mothers. And I've got to tell you real quick, my introduction to this facility, it was late at night, it was winter, well, it was late afternoon, and it was winter, and Victoria took me there. She wanted to share her vision. And so I met 3 of the neonatal surgeons there, and they were very excited about this delivery they had had recently. They wanted to tell me about it. They had delivered a child. The birth weight was 1.25 pounds, and they had to do open-heart surgery on this 1.5-pound human being. And so they told me about it, and then they had to operate in these conditions. And so they were telling me about it, and they were very excited. And I practically couldn't breathe because I couldn't imagine my hand trying to operate on, you know, somebody who was the size of a Big Mac. That's tiny, living individual. And at the end of it, they said, "You want to see him?" And I said, "Absolutely." Well, he was now 3 months old, and he lived in that neonatal clinic all that 3 months, and he was a large, thriving baby. He was over, I think, 7 pounds by that time, and his picture was in there. He had the tube up his nose. He's still on some the medication and some oxygen, but he's thriving and doing very well. So I was so excited. They were excited. That was my introduction to them. And so Victoria, the young lady, she's a Moldovan, but she's a dynamo. She came up to me and she said, "We're going to rebuild this wing." And I said, "Well, when in the future do you hope to do that?" She said, "By April." And she did. She did. She's amazing. And she did it in large part thanks to the generosity of people like you. Do we want to show the Odessa video, or what do we want to do? You tell me. All right. Well, I've got time. I can only do about 20 or 30 songs right now, but can I have a... Am I getting volume on that? I can't hear it up here. Okay? This is a song with which I close out most of my concerts. And it's a song that sort of typifies or illustrates the message of this evening. And the song Barb and I were introduced to during the Jesus Revolution. We're Jesus Revolutionary people from the early 1970s. We were in a house church with a bunch of other Jesus freaks and college kids. And one of them shared this song, which is called I Will Follow You. And we sang that a lot. We sang it a lot because it's such a meaningful and powerful song. It wasn't long enough, so I wrote the second half of it after a while. But especially when you're considering missions work. And it's called I Will Follow You, and it doesn't mean I will follow you a long way away. We're going to go 3,000 miles. It means you're going to follow wherever you're led. Doesn't matter how far that is. It can be far, can be next door. I will follow you wherever you may go, and I'll only follow where you lead, my Lord. I will follow you wherever you may go, for thy way is life, and all truth is in thy word. Though the winds blow, the storms come, the tempests do rage, I will follow you. To thee my life is due. I'll only follow you. Wherever the road may go, I will follow you, my Lord. Every time you turn around, you will find me there. Wherever the road may lead, even unto Calvary, God give me the strength I'll need to climb those stairs. I will follow you wherever you may go, and I'll only follow where you lead, my Lord. I will follow you wherever you may go, for thy way is life, and all truth is in thy word. Though the winds blow, the storms come, the tempests do rage, I will follow you. To thee my life is due. I'll only follow you. Wherever the road may go, I will follow you, my Lord. Every time you turn around, you will find me there. Wherever the road may lead, even unto Calvary, God give me the strength I'll need to climb those stairs. I'm looking for direction.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That was beautiful. Another round of applause. Hey, I'm going to pray for these families real quick, and then we'll dismiss, okay? So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these families and this mission that you have placed on their hearts. Thank you for bringing them into our community so that we can partner with them. Lord, I pray for their continued safety, safety in travel and safety on the mission field. I pray that they will have continued resources and finances and personnel to continue in this mission that you have placed on their heart. But most of all, Lord, I pray that you will continue to be close to them, that they will feel your presence in the work that they're doing, that they will feel your grace, your love, and your wisdom. I pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right.